Welcome into the show, Geekaholics. On today's show, we discuss the Disney and Fox merger, our trip to Connecticut GamerCon, a zombie first-person shooter, and finally, we discuss the tidal wave of game streaming options on the horizon. If you're short on time, we'll have timestamps in the doobly-doo, but we suggest listening to the whole show. Thanks.
Welcome to the Gentleman Geek Podcast, with your hosts Peter and Andy. Follow us on Twitter at gentleman_geek. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Welcome into the Gentleman Geek Podcast. I am your host, Peter. With me, as always, Andy Hara. How are you doing today, sir?
What's happening, my man?
Not too much. So before we begin today's show, I just want to do a little house cleaning. You can reach us at Twitter, or on Twitter, at gentleman_geek. You can also reach us at our WordPress site, which is gentlemangeekpodcast.wordpress.com. And if you'd rather a visual representation of the show, you can search for us on YouTube at Gentleman Geek Podcast. Let's get into it.
All right.
Geekly Rewind.
Geekly Rewind. Alrighty. So on today's show, we're going to be talking about really quickly about the Disney merger. It was approved as of, I think, March 20th. So welcome aboard, X-Men and Deadpool and the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
So how many crossovers do you think Disney's going to run for the next 20 years?
Well, I saw that they already announced a Dark Phoenix anime.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
Yeah, I saw that posted on Facebook.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome. How is it? There's a few more, obviously, movies in the Marvel Universe are going to do, but I do wonder towards the end of this, are we in phase three now? Something like that?
Yeah, I think they're entering phase three.
So I wonder if the end of phase three, we're going to see mutants start getting introduced. And
I think so, because... Yeah.
And then we're going to see an X-Men versus X-Men versus Avengers, like that.
Yeah.
With misunderstandings.
Yes, many.
Although I don't know if I can picture in my head anybody besides Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine. Kind of difficult.
Yeah, he nobody's going to really be able to take that place.
Nah, he did a really great job with it. And maybe he'll come back as like an old Wolverine.
He kind of already did that.
Did he?
Logan.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Don't even talk to me.
All right.
Now I'm ashamed.
I don't know. I didn't see Logan. Got a girl in that one?
Yep.
Yeah. That's one I didn't see.
Yep. Well, I'll have to let you borrow it.
I'll definitely watch it. I just, for whatever reason, I just missed it. Missed it in the theater. Missed it on DVD release. Never saw it, so... any more takeaways from that? Oh, maybe they'll actually do a good Fantastic Four.
Yeah. You know Spider-Man
crossover?
One that doesn't have, the guy that played Captain America in it.
Well,
because he was the original...
Human Torch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but did you see the second one after that? Or not the second one.
I didn't waste my time after the first one.
It was better than the first one. Way better than the first one. But still not great.
Yeah.
So with that, we'll move on to our second rewind of the week. And it's the GamerCon we went to.
Yep.
Connecticut GamerCon at Mohegan Sun.
Yeah. I mean, it was decent.
Yeah.
One thing I got to say I was really impressed with was the cosplay.
Well, some in particular. Yeah. There was a handful. And okay, so... Compared to the Retro World Expo that we went to last fall.
Oh, hands down, it was better cosplay at this con.
Yes, 100%. They definitely were better. The cosplay was better at this one. It looks like people put a lot more effort into it.
Oh, yeah.
Than at Retro World. And the thing about it, though, I think they rented out a hall that was too big. So it made it seem a lot, I don't want to say smaller. But
I think they didn't rent the space big enough.
Really? You thought it was crammed?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I thought it was... I don't know.
It was. In my opinion, it was cramped. Because if you think about it, and just in the aspect of the amount of vendors that were there,
yeah,
I was there weren't as many.
There was more vendors at Retro World.
Well, way more.
Tons.
Way more retro gaming.
Gaming, yeah.
But I think the biggest problem at CT GamerCon mm-hmm. was the fact that there was the lack of gamer booths.
Yep, 100%.
So I found myself tripping over other people trying to scout out what was there.
Yeah, there was it was a lot more crafty. A lot more people showing their craft.
Which, it's cool. Don't get me wrong. But I went there that I wanted to find some old school stuff.
Right.
You know?
And it being a gamer con.
You figured there'd be more games.
Right. I mean, Retro World explains that there's going to be retro games there. You should be expecting that.
Yep.
But it was Retro World. It wasn't even like Retro Gaming Con. It was Retro World Expo. And it was fantastic. I highly enjoyed that one. That was my first convention or whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
I enjoyed that one a lot more than this one. This one wasn't bad. Don't get me wrong.
Nope.
I wasn't disappointed.
We went with our buddies.
It was a lot of fun.
I was just, myself personally, I was disappointed with the spread, to speak. And as far as like what was they had to do, you know, because a lot of stuff didn't take place until later on.
Which was upsetting, yeah.
Because we got there right when the doors opened.
Yep.
And
there was
nothing going on.
Nope. We just kind of walked around a whole bunch. And
we shopped a little bit. And, you know, we got bored. We went to the buffet.
Yeah.
at the Mohegan Sun. And
the thing that I was kind of upset with, we didn't get to see the cosplay thing, but that wasn't even on the main stage. It was out in the hallway. It was just really weird how they
Weird setup.
The main stage was set for the finals, which wasn't until the end of the weekend, I think. Or probably the final that night on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then a final on Sunday afternoon. But the main stage was empty the entire time. Like, why weren't they? They should have. My main complaint is they should have spread the events out throughout the day and not everything in late in the afternoon. Like, it was 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 were all the main events.
I mean, this con was run by the same person that ran the first one, the first that I ever went to.
Yeah.
Years ago, back in 2010. And there was controversy over
You were telling me about that at the convention.
The payouts to the tournaments and stuff like that. I'm not going to name any names.
Right.
That was, like I said, that it was a good weekend. I had a good time and there was a lot of cool stuff to be had and bought.
Yeah. One of the things that I enjoyed, the cosplay was number one. That was the best. That was the greatest thing to see. The Transformer at the end and the Halo family. That was my favorite.
Yep.
And
we've got pictures of that. We can post that.
Yeah. I'll flash them in the video during this time. If you want to check it out, check out YouTube. But the other thing that I really enjoyed, I did enjoy some of the craft booths, mainly the dice.
The dice was pretty cool.
The trays and the towers. I really enjoyed that too.
The booth that had the custom made coasters was cool, and you know the shadow boxes was pretty cool too.
Did you notice? At least I noticed that there was a lot of people from Retro World's Con or Retro World Expo that showed up on this one, and the shadow box guy was the same guy.
Yeah.
Also, they had the Retro World's talk show or podcast. That guy was there at Retro World as well. He was in the back corner.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, he was in the back corner, kind of like they had a few booths with podcasters or like YouTube people.
You know, the other booth I thought that was neat was the guy that did recreation of comic covers.
Oh yeah, he was right at the corner.
Right at the corner. The one in particular that I pointed out to our buddy Mike was the recreation of Venom number one, but it was Stitch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, Mike would have enjoyed that one.
He actually purchased it.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. He saw it and he wound up purchasing it.
I saw Wolverine as a female too, I think. We did one. I'm pretty sure it was Wolverine as a female.
I hadn't looked through everything that he did. I mean, that one thing with Stitch was what caught my eye, because I know Mike and his girl are heavy into.
They have all the pops and everything like that. Yeah. So, did you have any other takeaways from the Connecticut Gamer Con?
I mean, the other thing that was cool about it was, you know, all the retro consoles that were set up for free play.
Right. See, it was just so... Okay, yeah. The free to play is where I spent most of my time. That was the other thing that I really enjoyed from it, because I was playing, like, Sonic. I think I played, what was the other one that I played? Can't even remember. Halo.
Yeah. I didn't get to the free to play section. Because I was just too busy just trying to
shop around.
Yeah. I mean, I was successful and bought a turbo booster for my TurboGrafx-16, but that was really the extent of my finds.
Yeah. Did you get a GameCube too?
I got a GameCube game that unfortunately I got skunked. It doesn't work.
So what do you have a repercussion to those things? Did you look into that? Do you like contact the store booth or whatever?
You know what? I didn't even get the guy's card, to be honest. I took a gamble on it. Right. He pointed out to me that it was scratched. I'll give him that. Okay. I took a gamble on it.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, I think we can both agree it was a great weekend a great day.
It was just hanging out with the guys, being able to
see all the old stuff and see the gaming. We didn't see any of the tournaments or anything like that. That was kind of going off way off on the side, way behind free to play. They were doing the tournaments back there.
Yeah.
They didn't really announce anything.
No. It was weird in that aspect.
Yeah. But it was fun to look at all the merch and kind of walk around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just hang out there. So with that, we'll go ahead and get to the news and notes.
News and notes from Everything Geek.
Alrighty. So some news broke. I think last week or the week before that, the creators of Left 4 Dead doing somewhat of a reboot, even though it's not Left 4 Dead.
Yep.
It is, however, a zombie first person shooter, which I like? Question mark? I like Left 4 Dead, but that was third person.
Yep. I enjoyed playing them. I mean, in all honesty, my only thing is I'm not big on horror myself. Never have been.
Well, we could talk about some of our experiences in Left 4 Dead in just a minute. But
still have nightmares because of that game.
This one supposedly is going to be titled Back 4 Blood, which kind of makes me think it's going to be tied closely for Left 4 Dead, like I'm Back 4 Blood, but they just like the number 4 in between their titles, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it does sound like it won't be Left 4 Dead 3. But if they do bring in some of the creepy elements that they had from Left 4 Dead.
Everything about it was creepy.
So why don't you talk to him about the witches?
I hate the witches. You know, I remember the first encounter. Yeah. We were just playing and you'd hear like a little girl crying.
Yep, sobbing. Like, sobbing.
And if you follow the voice mm-hmm. of the girl crying, eventually you'll see a full-grown woman
uh-huh.
hunched over.
A wretched witch.
Oh, my God.
And then she shrieks
shriek. If you get too close to her, she chases you.
Yeah, and it's creepy. It is so unbelievably creepy.
Ugh.
That is probably the strongest or the most memorable moment of the game for me too, because it's creepy.
I remember the first time it just jumps up at you and starts chasing you. It's like, God, I jumped out of my skin the first time it ever happened.
So in case you guys haven't played Left 4 Dead before, it is a third person shooter where you kind of go from point A to point B. It's called like a safe house, right? Like you start
point and get to the safe house. And 90% of the game is pitch black.
Yeah. So you rely on your cooperative players that you're playing with, and you kind of try to make it through and you get to the end. So I'm actually kind of excited for Back 4 Blood because I don't know of another zombie game where it's kind of set up like that. Like right now there's Call of Duty zombies.
Yeah.
But that's like repairing and staying in bunker down and kind of fighting off zombies, not really traveling too much.
I mean, the latest zombies, I mean, the last few versions of zombies is just not.
It's not this last one's weird. It's like gladiator type thing, and I think there's different levels that you progress into. The one before that was like carnival.
I just don't
like it.
Have any interest in it.
Yeah, me neither. It doesn't do the same thing that Left 4 Dead did. Like, Left 4 Dead legit felt like a co-op experience. Call of Duty Zombies just feels like a task, almost. Like, it's like just repetitive tasks. Like, okay, build the wall, repair the wall.
Yeah.
You know, upgrade my weapon, blah, 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 blah. And I'm sure Left 4 Dead, I can't remember at the moment, had elements like that as well, too. But I don't remember a repair or building element.
No, it was just survive. Run for your life. run for your life and survive.
So that's the news with Left 4 Dead. I wanted to mention this too. The original release was November 2008. Left 4 Dead 2 was released in 2009. And so this is going to be about, I think it's...
A 10-year gap.
A 10-year gap. So I think it might be coming out the end of this year, if not in the next few. Actually, there's no release that's set for it yet. But I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out on the 10-year anniversary of Left 4 Dead 2.
Good possibility.
Yeah. So we'll go on to our next topic here. And we're kind of entering the almost an era of stream now. And we'll start off with the big news from the gaming convention that just happened down in San Francisco. Google Stadia. Now, if you guys haven't heard of this, it's almost being coined as a console killer. It's pretty unbelievable what it's doing. There's no boxes, no downloads. It's pure stream, and it is up to 4K 60 frames per second, which is outrageous. Of course, that'll depend on your internet connection wherever you live.
Yep.
But it's a cloud-based platform that lets you launch games via YouTube, Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, Discord chats, text messages, and even search results. That's insane to me. You could be watching a YouTube video, see one of the creators that you like, that you watch, and just say, hey, you know what? I kind of want to be a part of that experience. You won't jump in the game with them per se, but you will jump into a save point of that person you're watching and play the same experience. So,
isn't the point of gaming to play the game and have your own experience?
I believe that's how games are supposed to work. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So while I think it's a breakthrough in video gaming in general. Yeah. However, I agree with you.
I mean,
think of this, right? Nintendo has prevented games being streamed on their platform, and now this is going to break. Now, not to say that there's going to be Nintendo licensed things on YouTube and stuff like that you're going to be able to jump into, but I think this is what they're trying to prevent. How do you purchase that game then? Like, what do you just get charged for, like, an hour rate? How do they make money?
Well, it's
you have to buy the game, right?
Well, it's going to be a monthly subscription, Game Pass.
That's true. Okay. Right. That makes sense. So you subscribe to like YouTube. I think it used to be called Red. Now it's just called YouTube Live or whatever it's called now.
RedTube what? No, just kidding.
Nah.
I don't know. I mean, I really don't see this working out,
mm-hmm.
only because, I mean, not everybody's got superior internet, for starters.
That is very true. I think I just saw a statistic on that. Like, it was, God, it's a large amount of Americans who don't have, like, fiber or 100 meg service. That's insane to me, that there's parts of this country where they don't have more than, like, 10.
10? I'm sorry. I feel so bad for you.
I feel extremely bad for you.
I complain with my 100 meg service.
Yeah, we do. It's like, what the hell? I shouldn't get lag. I'm far superior than everybody. Got 100 megs. What's
you know,
good?
Especially, you know, I check my stats.
You're late all the time?
I check it all the time.
Yeah. I do too, actually. Or at least I started to, because I actually got upgraded to the 100 for free. They just did it. Yeah. Well, I was following up on it in Charter, our carrier in this area. They were going to be rolling out just free upgrade, rolling it out. So I'm sure my price got increased to match. I think yours was like, what, $6 to increase or something like that?
Yeah, it was $6.
I'm sure we all got increased just incrementally or whatever. But so another integration on this is, and this I actually kind of think is the one of the cooler parts. There's an integration feature into the controller itself for Google Stadia. It's going to have the Google Assistant feature. So long, and we actually did the prior episode on this with the Prima Game Guides going out of business.
Yep.
This is going to kill it even further if it hasn't already done so. I mean, they're gone anyway, but...
Well, yeah, Google already killed the...
Yeah, but this is going to be another way for you to just say Google Assistant and just say, how do I beat level 45 of X game, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. You don't have to go on your iPhone and like kind of like anymore. You can just ask it, voice control it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's more, not major or anything. I just think
more,
it's kind of neat.
More bells and whistles than I need.
True, but like on Xbox, they could have implemented it a long time ago with Cortana. You know, like, Cortana, could you please look up the tips on blah, 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 blah. I'm sure that's coming.
They could have. I think the biggest problem with that is more the Kinect itself. I mean,
true.
Mine died. It stopped working. So
oh, really?
Yeah. So I just...
All right.
I 86'd it, you know?
I think mine's in a box. Seriously, I don't use it anymore because I didn't find it.
I mean, my kids were more impressed that I could turn on and turn off the Xbox just by saying turn on. They thought it was magic until, you know,
yeah,
they finally figured out it was a microphone.
Right. So I can see ways that this technology is going to be used for good purposes. I mean, people watch people gaming now and people want to be with their creators. And now this is one quicker way to do it. They call it a state share. So it's not like a save. It's called a state share. And
yeah,
they
can jump in and stuff like that. I get it. I mean, I guess I'm too old school for my own good.
Yeah, I mean, I will probably get there too at some, you know, I'll get sick of it. And we'll talk about that next because I may have wished for something that is not going to be good. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. That's our next subject. But, they do have, and this is kind of interesting, YouTube actually has some first-party titles that are planned, which is kind of okay. So they're going to become not only a console, if you will, a streaming service, they're going to become a publishing company too, which is kind of weird. And they also, just to mention it, the Stadia is going to be playable on Chromecast devices, PCs, and laptops via Chrome browsers or Chrome OS and using the Stadia app on a Pixel phone. So it's not on iPhones. Not currently. There's no plans for it to come on there at this time. Shut up. So this looks like the platform wars will persist even in the cloud. So I also wanted to mention that as well because Phil Spencer was actually commented specifically on saying we are going hard at E3. So I am super pumped to see what Xbox is going to bring to the table because of this. Because we've been talking about the rumors, right? The disco system, the streaming service, yada, yada, yada.
Well, there was actually, I saw that there was leaked news about a disco system.
Okay. Yeah. So
somebody had posted on Twitter about it.
It's coming. I think we can, it's coming. It's all but confirmed at this point, and I cannot wait to see. One thing I'm excited about is the price point. I think it's going to, I'm going to guess, for a discless system, like an Xbox Slim, One S, or whatever it's called, not an Xbox One X, all going to be $150.
I think they're probably going to get rid of the One S altogether.
You think so? Well, what are they going to call it, though? I don't know.
Yeah, but the thing is, everything is 4K now. The One S does not support 4K.
Well, I thought it did.
Well, it upscales. So it's not really the same.
It's not native. It's not native. Okay, I got you. So I'm looking forward to E3 even more now because Phil Spencer seems pissed that Google kind of jumped the gun and announced this. And
yeah, but we're also talking about a company that doesn't know anything about gaming.
True, but they did give away for free the last Assassin's Odyssey that happened like last summer. They were testing it.
That was more like a beta, is what that was.
Yeah, that's true. It was a beta, but they were testing their servers, right?
Well, yeah.
And it seems like everything worked fine. There was really no complaints about that. The save points happened naturally and fluidly. It seemed like it went over really, really well. So I'm looking forward to it. I like these new technologies and these new rollouts. Like our kids are going to be playing. They're going to jump on the computer. They're going to play that. They're going to jump on their phone. And they're going to jump. Like it's pretty cool how much it's going to evolve and how quick it's going to evolve.
Yeah. I mean, I just prefer to stick with the big three.
Yeah. I agree. I still like having a console, like something that's dedicated to that and not having to use my iPad for it or my phone for it. Yeah. Or so I do like having a dedicated console, but I don't care about the disc tray or, you know, disc SERP at all. So with that, we'll move on to the last topic, and it kind of rolls right into this one. It is game streaming services in general and how they are almost becoming like the retro consoles. They're just like this big flood. So after Google announced that they're going to be doing this YouTube gaming thing, or Stadia rather, a whole bunch of other people kind of came out and said, "Well, wait, we have something too. We have a product. We have a product. We have a product." Apple, Walmart, Google, and Amazon all have announced in the last month that they all are looking into or have a streaming gaming service coming. It's getting out of hand.
But did you notice? Did you notice that for a while Walmart was selling used games?
Yes.
And now they're not anymore?
I didn't notice that they pulled them, but I did notice they were taking in trade-ins to resell them.
Yeah, but did?
Huh?
Because they had, like, I know in the Walmart in Sturbridge they had an actual. It was like a vending machine.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
You know, like the red boxes.
Okay. Yeah, no, I haven't seen that. That's interesting. Well, on that note, just selling at Walmart in general, Sony has pulled all digital cards from the marketplace as well. GameStop no longer has them. Walmart won't have them.
Yeah, that's
no more game cards.
Got a lot of people up in arms over that.
Yeah, so you got to put your credit card on that system now. They're locking people in.
Won't do
it. So, I won't. If I had one, I wouldn't do it either.
I won't do it.
No. I don't. I wouldn't do it. Because then you have your kid popping in and, you know, you can password protect it, I'm sure. But I don't want that either.
It's not even that.
But
Sony. Sony, you already leaked information once.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Not happening.
So, what is your take on all this wave of streaming media and everyone trying now to get a piece of this pie? This has to be the next big thing.
Suits trying to make money is what I see it.
Right. I don't think Walmart has a chance this. Who goes to Walmart digitally and says, you know what, I want to stream through Walmart my video games? That one seems the most odd to me.
Yeah.
I can see Apple because they have their own house interface.
Well, yeah,
right?
they already have iTunes.
Right. Google. Yes. They're in, you open a web browser, it's generally Google on your phone, on whatever. And then Amazon also has like Fire Stick, Fire TV, yada, yada, yada. So they kind of have their own integration as well, too.
Yeah.
So those ones seem natural, but I still don't want to stream my games on these. I don't think I'm going to want to stream my games on these services.
I don't know. I mean.
It's weird. To me, at least, it seems kind of weird.
I like my simple consoles.
Yeah.
That's just.
I don't know if they're going to be around much longer anymore, man.
No, because Phil Spencer's commented that consoles aren't going anywhere.
That's right. They aren't going anywhere, but what they're just being replaced with discless systems. So the systems will keep pumping out.
I don't think they're being replaced. I think that they're just broadening the horizon is more what I think is what's happening. Because he's made it clear that he has no intent of getting rid of the console.
Right. I agree with you, but I think those consoles are just going to be streaming boxes. They're just literally going to be stream boxes.
What about the people that don't have internet?
Well, that's the line.
You have to have an interface for everybody.
Yeah. This is the line that I think a lot of these companies are going to have to face. Like, okay, we can provide this to all of the East Coast, all of the West Coast, but everybody in the middle of the country where the internet's the worst. I mean, bits and parts, not everywhere in the middle, you know, the least populated places. They're going to still need a physical copy of the game.
Oh,
and I agree with you. That's, I think, some of the dilemmas these companies are going to face. Like, everybody who games usually has this. Well, everyone who games has a system right now. They're invested in that ecosystem.
Yeah.
If you're Xbox, you're Xbox. If you're PlayStation, you're PlayStation. You can be both.
Three next gen and over 20 retro.
Right. So you are invested in those systems. So you're not the type of customer to go to Apple. You're not going to go to Walmart. You're not going to go to Google or Amazon.
I wouldn't go to Apple if I was given money to.
We'll see. Nope. All I'm saying is streaming is the way of the future, but they're going to be tripped up. Some of these guys are going to leave it. Apple already has a gaming ecosystem, but it's trash. I think it's trash. I don't like necessarily playing on my phone or iPads really all that much. I like to mirror onto it. That's fine. I'm okay with that. But I'm not okay with playing like with touch controls and stuff like that.
I just have no interest in it.
Yeah. I think the whole thing's going to self-destruct and just kind of come down on itself. And the only ones who are going to be left standing are the ones who have the consoles. Xbox, Sony, Nintendo, things like that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw even Microsoft is making games playable on cell phones.
They are going cross-platform. Like, they're literally, they opened it up. They had a developer's kit that they gave out to, who was it? I think it was Nintendo. And I almost want to say Apple as well. I forget who, we talked about it last episode.
Because they were playing a racing game via controller on a cell phone.
Was it an Android? Probably was an Android.
It was an Android, yeah.
Oh, no, wait. No. It's going through, it's Android and iOS because of the app. The Xbox app is going to be able to launch games.
Yeah.
That was one of the big talks. I think that's going to be confirmed at E3 is that you're going to, no matter where you go, as long as you subscribe to Game Pass, which all these other companies are trying to do, Apple's going to have like a Game Pass and Walmart's going to have a Game Pass and blah, blah, blah.
They're just following Xbox's.
Exactly. But you're telling me that, well, maybe if Xbox is allowed on iOS devices to stream, maybe Apple will be like, well, you need to let us onto the Xbox as well and like stuff like that. But I don't see that really happening.
No.
But where are you going to play the Apple on your phone, I guess? Fine. Where are you going to play your Walmart games? Do you think Xbox, Microsoft is going to say, hey, Walmart, why don't you sell your subscription?
Walmart games are going to be on the cheesy tablets they sell for $30.
No, they'll be on Arcade 1-Up cabinets. I hate them. No, I'm just kidding. I don't hate them, but I, anyway, I'm not even going to get into that. Yeah, so this is this tidal wave that's coming. Get prepared for it. I'm sticking with the Xbox ecosystem. I do want a PlayStation eventually, and I probably will get one when they drop in price because there are a handful of games I want to play.
Yep.
And I have the Nintendo Switch right now, so that's been a lot of fun too. But I don't think I'm going to be subscribing. We have Game Pass right now, but I don't like. This is the thing. When they brought in the free games, like free monthly games, how many of them do you always play?
Well, honestly, I haven't downloaded a free game in a year because I'm not interested. They're not putting anything out that I really want to, you know.
I agree with that.
When they first were doing the games with gold, with the free download, they were putting out some games. There were some decent ones that they were putting out.
Yep.
But lately it just seems like they're just kind of like regurgitating what they're putting out there for free. And
yeah, I agree. And I don't know. It's almost like when we were younger, if we were to be given free games back in the day, well, that would have been awesome. Like, it would have been awesome. But it just seems like we're just pumped with, they just throw games at our face all the time, and we're just like okay, but they're all crap.
It's overload is what it is. It's
overload. And there's no time to play them as much anymore either. So
no. I mean, sorry about that. I was even thinking that, you know, like we went out last night, and I went to GameStop. Just kind of looking around, it's like, you know, I don't even have time to play the games I have.
Right.
You know, why am I even looking at new games?
Right. And it's, you always want that new thing because it's always nice to get a new thing. But it's just at some point you're like, all right. I can't justify it.
And honestly, I was disappointed with the selection.
Yeah. GameStop's not going to be around too much longer.
The selection was abysmal.
I think maybe developers are getting ready for the streaming services. Maybe they're just like, no, we're not going to do physical copies as much anymore. I don't know. I doubt it. I doubt that
because I just looking around, it's just, you know, the lack of selection. And it's not just there that I see that. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's not just gaming. It's just everything in general, you know. Hmm.
Maybe our tastes are changing.
I don't even think it's that. I just think that a lot of stores just aren't stocking stuff now, and that's
Amazon's finally killed them.
Well, what's killing them is that they're not keeping it in stock.
On that too.
If I go out somewhere looking for something specific,
yep,
and I stop at three places and nowhere has it, I'm going home and I'm going to order it online and have it shipped to my door.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a big problem. You got to have the inventory if you want sales. But yeah, so that's basically our takes on the streaming services. Prepare yourselves because it's coming, whether we want it to or not. I'm almost flipping here now. I'm like, I don't know if this is with everyone joining the market. I'm not okay with it anymore. I still want my streaming on my Xbox and streaming Xbox games, but it's getting a little too much. Too much. So,
well, I just want to be able to go to a store and buy something when I want to buy it.
I understand that. Instant gratification. So, do you have anything else to add?
That's it, man.
No. All right. So, with that, guys, we'll see you next time. Check us out on YouTube. Subscribe, like, and also you can reach out on Twitter @gentleman_geek.
Peace.
This has been a Gentleman Geek production. Follow us on Twitter @gentleman_geek. Or visit our WordPress website at www.gentlemangeekpodcast.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening.